Let me see your Bible. I thought I did that already. Sorry. Word. Who is that saying that? Word. Word. Thought he was a frog. Word. That's the Christian frog. His non-save cousin is Bud. Classically chiseled. Those guys are so funny. Revelation. I want to start with this verse because some of these emails that I want to address today are from people who the devil is accusing or lying to. And if you can, anytime you have a problem, you're stressed, you're worried, you have a situation and you think it's bad, you need to understand the devil's probably lying to you. No matter what it is, the devil's got his hand in it, making it worse than it is. You have to believe that. He doesn't ever miss up an opportunity to discourage you and lie to you and make things worse than they really are. But I want to read this verse to you because this is going to help us understand this. Revelation 12, 9 and 10, it says, verse 9 and 10, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil. Everybody say devil. And Satan, say Satan. Who deceives the world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him from heaven to the earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now I want you to listen to this. Just think about this for a minute before we go to these questions. The devil is your accuser. He's the one who tells you you're no good. You're never going to be blessed. God doesn't love you. God is mad at you. You've let God down. You're never going to be happy. He's the one who tells you all that stuff day and night, the Bible says. Day and night. For every single one of you. He knows every single one of you. And his demons, they all know you. When I became a pastor, they assigned 5-10 more demons to my life. Trust me. When I was in Canada last week talking about what we're going to do through the reason I wasn't here, I was in Canada talking about doing the crusades up there, not only one crusade, but throughout the whole country, and then going internationally and minister to the little kids around the world. He'd sign more demons to me. He said, we cannot have that. And so you have to understand that the accuser is going to come after you and discourage you and get you down. And believe me, I deal with this daily. I woke up the other day, yesterday morning, I didn't have any, I had a day to do nothing. I played flag football and lost. We got beat by this little man over here, me and my son. But you know, I got up in the morning and my wife said, I said, Debbie, I got to get out of the bed. She says, why? I said, I just do. She said, do you feel guilty right now? Yeah. She says, you got problems. The accuser, that I can't lay in the bed on Saturday morning without getting up and having to feel like I got to go. The accuser, he's very, very good. So as we talk about these issues, I want you to remember his job. The first one that I want to talk about are these people asking about dating. One person asked about internet dating. What do I think about internet dating? Sooner or later, you have to meet the person on the other side of the internet. And if all you're going to go by is what's typed in a computer, you got a whole lot of surprises coming. But, it's very dangerous. Let me say this. God created man, God created woman. He created man and woman to be companions, to be intimate, to share their heart, their lives together. Marriage is a covenant of companionship, not a license to have sex. It's a covenant of companionship. When you get married, you are saying to God, I am making a covenant to be this person's companion, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Dating, which is really hardly no place in the Bible, it's something that we just do, okay? It's not in the Bible. I don't see in the Bible. I see people meet each other, and they go, do you want to get married? Yes, let's go, and they go in the tent, and they get married. You know, that's how it happened a lot of times. That's my wife. That's your wife. Here's some food and some rings and some clothes. You're married to me, and that's the way it was. Now, do I say we do it that way today? No. But you have to understand, dating someone, going out with them, putting yourself in positions to be attacked, which is you have to be very careful with, meeting a person for the first time, wherever, giving them your number, those are very risky things. That's just a fact of life. Very dangerous things. You have to understand that God doesn't necessarily want you to do that. He wants you to understand that he understands all your needs, and he understands how to meet those needs, and he has the person to meet those needs. And what you have to do is say, God, I am going to trust you, and I'm going to know the Bible. That's why when next year we go through the Bible, you have to understand every question, answer for every question you could ever have is going to come from this book and your relationship with the person who this book is about. Everything. Nothing's going to come from, you know, some television show or Oprah or Jerry Springer. It ain't going to come from there. It's going to, unless you want to see what you don't do, but you got this, the answer is going to come here. It's going to come here. You have to understand that. Now, I know a lot of people think I make it so simple. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. You have to understand. And the reason I can say that is because I lived it. I've been through there. And all the stuff, you know, when I was in Canada the other day, talking about doing this crusade up there, and I went to this church, and, you know, I in Canada, they're very, very reserved people. They're like this. And, you know, I'm a feedback person. I have very, I like people to get involved and laugh and, you know, respond. And I went to this lunch meeting and talked to these 100 businessmen and women about the crusade, and they were like this. And I'm thinking, man, they're running me out of town. I think I got to go home. But they were into it. They were really into it. So I was like, thank you for interpreting this to me. So I went to the church, and the church, they said they don't usually do altar calls in the church. Well, I was like, you know, I like to do altar calls. So I'm speaking to people, you know, they're kind of getting into it, and I made a comment as I was talking through the story about Adam and Eve when Adam says, Eve, the woman you sent to me made me sin. And this woman, and I said, just like a man, blaming a woman. And this woman in the crowd said, hear, hear. You know, like in England where they do it at the courtroom, hear, hear. That was her way of saying, amen, brother, amen. So I was like, hear, hear to you too. But then we had the altar call, and in these two older people, probably in their 70s, 80s, came forward to get saved. And they walk forward. I mean, they everybody was down. We were getting ready to pray for them. And then here they come. Because they were up in the balcony. It took them a while to get down the stairs. And they're walking like this. And you know what God did? God took how old they were, all their sin, and he erased it. And he erased it. And that's what he wants to do for you. But you have to understand that, boy, that God loves you so much that if he would wait for them to bless them and forgive them, how much more is he going to bless you with his blessings today if you've given your life to him today? And so don't let the devil trick you to think, I'm going to make this dating thing work on my own. I trust God knows what I need, and I have to listen to God every step of the way. And so as far as dating, how are you going to know you're the right person? You pray, God's going to send someone into your life, and I think the very first question you have to ask yourself, is this person qualified and willing to help me obey God? Not, are they attractive to me, even though it's important? Not, are they intelligent enough for your standards? But can they help you obey God? Because if they drag you down and drag you away from God, you're going to have more heartache and more pain in your life than you could ever, ever imagine. There were also several questions about forgiveness. One person had sex before when they were in high school, and they were feeling guilty, and they didn't know how they were gonna get over their guilt. Another person had sex when they were in high school, and they didn't know how they were gonna tell their boyfriend / future husband. Another guy is dating a girl, and she has had 3 past partners in her life, and he is a virgin, and he wants to know, you know, should I discount her because she's not a virgin? How am I going to get over that? And a lady also asking the same thing. Should she discount a guy because he's not a virgin? Let me tell you something about forgiveness. God's forgiveness, when he forgives someone, he not only forgives them of their sin, but he remembers it no more. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a person who did this and that and all this other stuff. He sees someone who's totally forgiven. It's hard to comprehend that. It really is. If we all knew our sin, you wouldn't want to be sitting next to the person next to you. And you definitely wouldn't want to be listening to me if you knew my sin. Thank God we don't know our own sin. Amen? Thank God God doesn't wake up every day and say, hey, I just wanted to remind you of what you did yesterday. Amen? You don't want that. But you know what's scary about it? Is that if God did that, you'd be arguing with him saying, that's not wrong. I didn't do that. What's so bad about that? He's like, ooh, you have no idea how much I love you. You know, God loves us so much that he knows everything. And he sees it from a correct biblical perspective. And to him, wrong is wrong and right is right. He knows all of that and he loves us anyway. So when you ask Christ to come into your heart and God sends someone into your life, and if they've been forgiven, guess what? You got to say, God, give me your forgiveness for them that I don't judge them. Because just as the same way I judge them, I'm going to be judged. And so when you meet somebody, if you're so hung up on this person being picture perfect, you better put the same standard on yourself and say, you know what? I better be picture perfect. Another person in here, a young lady was raped, and she was worried about telling her future husband what had happened to her. Well, you know what? God has an amazing way of working things out. And no matter what has happened to you in the form of that, God is going to not only give you the perfect time and perfect place and way to communicate something to somebody. The Bible says the truth sets you free. But he's also going to give you the perfect person that's going to say, you know what? That's no big deal to me. God is going to work that out. Can't tell you how. Can't tell you what it's going to be like. But I can tell you what. The devil's going to scare you, accuse you, make you worry. And then when you tell that person, you're going to be like, man, this is what I worried about. One day my wife, before I got saved and my wife and I got married, we had 4 years of literally a nightmare relationship, breaking up, getting back together. It was a mess. And there was a young lady involved in my life somehow, and she, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it was one of those times when we weren't together. Then we weren't. It was just a mess. So one day, my wife sat on the edge of my bed. After we were married and we were saved, she sat on the edge of the bed. She says, "I have a question to ask you." And you know, fellas, you know when a woman gets that look on her face, like, "You in trouble?" It's like, "I have a question," and I knew it was the question. And I was just like, "God, don't have her ask me this question." But I had to tell the truth. And I did. You know what? It was over. It was never mentioned again. And my wife handled it way better than I would have. The devil will tell you all these lies about what would happen. Let me tell you something. God is so big and so beautiful and such a blessing when he forgives you and he cleanses you and he gives other people forgiveness for you. When we were in Canada, I met this girl, and this girl was just a godly Christian woman. And someone had told me about her because she had a testimony to church, and I couldn't even see in her how she could have been that other person. But when God forgives you, he changes you into a whole new person. The old is gone and the new has come. The new has come. And we have not only to accept that for ourselves, but for other people, and see them as that and treat them as that. That's a beautiful. When I used to do cocaine, I used to do it right down the street from this school. And this is where I used to come and hang out high and work out the field out there. A totally different person than I am today. Because of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Another person asked about why we focus on telling women to be virgins and not men. That is a cultural mistake. We should tell men to be virgins just as much as women. My 11-year-old son got a purity ring, and he has just as much responsibility to be pure as my daughters. Another person asked, if I have a desire to marry, does that mean God wants me to marry? God has made us to couple up. And if you are following God and he's put that desire in your heart, then he probably will fulfill that desire. But again, it has to be his time and his way. And we have to be very patient with that. There is no rhyme or reason to why some people have to wait longer than others. That cannot be explained, at least by me. I have no clue to that. Another woman wrote about the struggle between pleasing God and pleasing her husband. If God gives you a husband, part of pleasing God will be to serve and honor your husband, as the Bible says, just as a man's supposed to honor and serve his wife. And God will take care of the division of those feelings and being distracted. But there was a few questions on here about a husband and a wife and their intimacy. Now, a lot of you, how many people here are not married? Just raise your hand. Okay, look around, everybody. Look, keep your hands up real quick. A whole bunch of y'all. When I was not married, here's what I thought. When I get married, I can do all the things I am doing illegally, legally, all the time. Because I have a license. Does anybody have any feelings like that? Just say amen if you do. Y'all lying. In other words, when you're married, you can just do it all you know, you're licensed, so you just go crazy with it, right? So I figured when I'm married, I'm not go crazy, but you know, as much as you can, you know, you're married, so it's legal, it's okay. Let me enlighten you. All the married people in here are going, yeah, skip them young puppies straight. Question. Miles, you said if a wife says no to sex, that means no. What if she never says yes? I'm only kidding. Let me explain something to you. Women, and fellas, this is mostly for our education. Women have very, very, very different pressures in life, especially when they become wives and then mothers. And the pressures that they experience every day, we have no concept to, even though we're there every day and we can watch, even if you were there all day, every day, watching what they do. And not only do they have different pressures and heavy burdens to carry as a mother, and the burdens that they carry are not the fact that they have to keep the house, if that's what they do, bear children, which is what they do, or can only we can't do that, but how God gives them a passion to do it in a certain way, you know, and how God gives them a passion to have a place that they call home, a place that they call that is secure for them. God put that in them. That is not wrong. That is godly for them. What men don't understand, what we don't understand, is how that affects and how those concerns are higher priorities over the things we call priorities. And we, you know, guys think about intimate these kind of issues a whole lot more often than women. Daily, I would say. Minute by minute. Second by second. Some wives are here. Second by second. And women think about it like Y2K, Y3K. Something I've been studying for many, many years. So I had you have this question. What if my wife never says yes? Now, some of you single women can think, why would that be? Well, I've answered some, you know, a couple of couples since we started the series came up to me and asked me. So I told this one couple, I said, he said to me, you know, my wife, she doesn't really want to do anything, and I do. And I was like, mm-hmm. I said, what should I do? I said, have you ever asked her why? And he says, well, no. I says, well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, I said, do you have reasons why you could tell him? And she says, oh, yeah. If you ask her, she will tell you. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is because when all of you who are single here, to understand that when you get mad, when you get this date and this mate that you really, really want, that your issues are going to change. And then if you don't have these issues figured out and your relationship is based on sex and your passion for each other, you will break up. You will break up because sex will not keep you married. It will not keep you married. Romance will not keep you married. You better make sure that that person, you can get along with that person. You can communicate with that person. You can resolve conflict with that person. You are committed to that person, whether it's sex or not. If you don't have those qualities and a bunch of other stuff, you will not make it. You will get a divorce. It's a fact of life. But let me read this verse to you just for the sake of this. Some of you who feel like I can hold out. This is verse 1 of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now, let me explain to you what Paul is talking about here. He is talking to a people who were in a great persecution. The Christians were being persecuted, and he's encouraging them to stay single. Because being married at this point in time, when the church was being persecuted, would have made life difficult and harder to serve God. My wife says to me every now and then, because I'm a workaholic, and I'm in Workaholics Anonymous, WAA, she says, "If you were single, I can't imagine what your life would be like. I would die. I probably would die. Because I would just work." And so, but the point is, the flip side is that sometimes she says, maybe you need to be single. Because if I'm working so much, I'm not doing my duty at home, which is what I have to do. I'm obligated to do that correctly. And so what Paul's getting ready to say here is, look, if you're not married, you don't have to worry about that. You can just serve God. Now, it doesn't mean you don't get married. I just want to help you understand the context with which he's saying all this stuff. Verse 2, it says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." That is not the only reason you get married. That's just what he's saying. "Let the husband," this is the verse I want to focus for you on. "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her." Fellas, you have to understand that the affection due your wife is not the affection you probably normally want to give her. Ladies, can I get an amen? Ooh, some tension up in the room, yeah. That's why you have to work. When you say, we got to work at this relationship, you have to learn what those affections are. And they can change year to year. You know, day to day, minute to minute. "Oh, honey, do this. Oh, I don't want that anymore. Do this. It's a moving target. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not criticizing everybody. Then it says, look what it says. Verse 3, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." The wife has to render the affection due to her husband. Now, we're very simple creatures. Amen? Very simple creatures. So, but here's what has to happen. The wife, we're not talking about girlfriend and boyfriend. We're talking about a wife and a husband, people who have made a commitment to companionship for the rest of their life. "I am committed to you to be your companion, your physical, your emotional, your mental, your spiritual, your social companion." That takes work. That takes work. So if there's problems in the relationship where someone doesn't want to fulfill their end of the bargain, that has to be fixed. That has to be fixed. Because you made a commitment to that person. Now, it has to be fixed God's way. Not the husband's way, the wife's way, but God's way. And so part of that is sitting down, discussing things, and discussing issues. Husbands, ask your wife. You know, when I was talking to one of my counselor friends about this whole thing, he says that men want to have sex to feel love, and women want to feel love to have sex. It's the opposite. In other words, a woman wants to feel like she's valued, she's loved, she's secure, she's been romanced, and then she'll be intimate. The guy, on the other hand, says, "Hey, forget all that. I want to be intimate, and then I'll feel that after." Yeah. Brother's in trouble tonight, boy. I tell you, his wife is sitting next to him. She said, "Honey, you are going to get whooped tonight. I'm going to embarrass me up in here, place." But you know what? The man has to understand how to give the woman the love she needs so their intimacy can be fulfilling and biblical. But at the same time, that is not going to sustain your relationship. And that's not going to be the bulk of your relationship. Because babies come. I mean, all you single people, for you to go out on a date, You know when you have kids, all the hoops you got to jump through just to go out on a date with your wife, to go spend 5 hours alone? Let me tell you something. You can go months and even years. Not years, but you can go months and weeks without ever having to do that. And so your relationship under the stress of being a parent has to be based on something totally different. And that's why it's so important to have God send that person to you. Some of this stuff I got to put on the internet. One guy says, I was raped as a guy who's been raped. How can he reclaim his manhood? Turn to First Kings. First Kings. Chapter 2. How does a guy who's been raped reclaim his manhood? Again, the devil will lie to you, and I can't imagine how horrifying this experience was and can be and is, and how the devil will lie to you to tell you all these things about your manhood. But here's the best way. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, King David's telling his son right before he dies, "I go the way of the earth. Be strong. Therefore, prove yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." No matter what has happened to you in the past, for you to make a commitment to walk with God, and you make a commitment to obey God, and you make a commitment to be submitted to God, God is the one who's going to determine your manhood and your womanhood and your personhood and your value. And no person can take that from you. And every single one of us in here, we've all have sinned. We've all disqualified ourselves from being a child of God because of our sin. But Jesus says, if you confess with your mouth that I am your Lord and believe in your heart I rose from the dead, I'll forgive you. And guess what? You will be to me what I make you to be, what I determine you to be. And so no matter what has happened to you, yes, you may need to go to get counseling. You may need to go talk to some people about some of the feelings you're having. And that's all legitimate. But the bottom line is, God, I want to obey you. Because what the devil can do is he can run you around chasing all these solutions. But he doesn't want you to find God. Because that's the ultimate solution. And he's the one who's going to ultimately direct you to the right solution. And there's some of you in here today, you may have been coming for the series and you may have been wanting to be pure and learn all this stuff. But unless you ask Christ to be your Savior, and unless Christ forgives you of your sin and fills you with his Holy Spirit and takes over your life, he has to control your life. You have to surrender that to him. The Bible calls it being born again. You're born into the Spirit of God, into the family of God. It's a spiritual birth. Unless you do that, you're never going to experience the abundant life that only God can give. Abundant life that God gives doesn't come through having a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband. It doesn't come from having a lot of money. It comes from having a life-changing, ever-changing experience and relationship with God. And the only way that can come is if you ask him to forgive you and cleanse you, and you ask him to be your Savior. In a minute, we're going to pray. And there may be some of you out there today who say, you know what, I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Because, yeah, I've been going to church, and, yeah, I've been listening to sermons, but I've never surrendered my life. This morning, we probably have 40 people come forward and get saved. And they say, you know what, I want Christ to be my Savior. Some of you have had terrible things happen to you. You need God to comfort you. Some of you have done terrible things. You need God to forgive you. But in the end, God wants to mold and shape you. And when next year we go through the Word, if you memorize the Word and learn the Word of God, the Bible says in Psalm, how can a young man keep his way pure? by taking heed according to the word of God. And the next verse says, your word I have hidden in my heart. I memorize it that I might not sin against you. God's word is what's going to keep you straight. That's what's going to change you. And that's how God's going to direct you to go right or left, right where he wants you. And when he wants you to find that right person, guess what? They're going to be right in front of you. They're going to be right there at the right time. Because some, and I don't say this referring to anybody in particular, you're not ready for that person. If you met that person now, you blow it. He says, well, I'm going to get you ready over here. And then when you're ready, I'm going to send that right person to you so you don't mess it up. And then if you follow me, you're going to have a blessed relationship. I've been through many messed up relationships in my life. Many. And let me tell you something. I don't wish that on anybody. I look at my little kids, my children, and I'm just like praying that they don't have to go through all that with the wrong guy, the wrong girl, and all this and that, this and that. Let me tell you something. They can just trust God, keep their head down, read the Bible, just ignore every guy they ever see. And then when God decides to send them a husband, I will decide that for them. I will say, here you go. Here's your husband. You're both 60 now. It's okay to get married. If I had it my way, that's what would happen. Is that ridiculous? Yeah, but that's just what I want. That's okay. Let's all bow our heads and pray. I'm not going to do that to my kids, by the way. Every time I talk about that, my daughters go, we're never going to have a life. And I go, you finally figured it out. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your word and your love. And dear God, I thank you. There's always going to be more questions and more issues. I pray that you would really continue to clear those issues up by simply telling us we have to follow you. We have to follow you. And that takes work. We have to read. We have to memorize. We have to study. We have to pray. We have to deny ourselves so we can follow you. It's not an automatic thing. But the first thing that has to happen is we have to be saved. We have to have you as our Savior. So as you sit in your seat, if you realize tonight you need Jesus as your Savior, you want to be forgiven of your sin, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe that God loves you, that he knows you, and he wants to forgive you and cleanse you of your sin. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And I want to walk with you. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and today you're telling God you want him to forgive you of your sin, I'm going to ask you right now to stand up in your seat and acknowledge that. Anybody in this place, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. 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 Stand to your feet. Anybody else? God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. We're just going to wait a minute. God bless you. Anybody in the lobby, we want you to stand also. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. If God has spoken to you and a small, still voice says, I love you and I want you to ask me to be your Savior, that's God. Stand to your feet and acknowledge that tonight in this place right now. Anybody else? God bless you. Good. Good. Now we're going to ask all you people, and there's about 15 or 20, we're going to ask all you people to do one more thing. We're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come right down here to the altar as we welcome you to the family of God. Come on down here right now. Let's encourage them. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hello, little girl. God bless you. You guys can face this way. God bless you. It's going to be okay. God bless you. 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 Come on, let's give them a hand. Come on. God bless you. All right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All your sin is gone. I know it's hard to understand, but as far as God's concerned, he's just forgiven you. And now he wants to change you. Can't be the same. He has to do the changing. All you have to do is trust him by faith. He wants to change you from what you were to something you have no idea. But I can tell you what, it's better than what you were. Amen. This is better than what I was. And what God has for you is better than what you could ever imagine, even better than what your mother thinks. Oh, my sweet honey, she's such a sweet girl. God has better plans for you than that. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to take you down this aisle. I'm going to ask everybody over here not to move so we can get them down. I want to take you into a room and give you a little book and talk to you about this. But your only responsibility for the rest of your life is to obey God. Okay? The reason you go to church is out of obedience. The reason you read your Bible is out of obedience. The reason you pray is out of obedience. Because out of obeying God, that's when you're going to get God's best for you. That's what it means to love God, is to obey him. That's what loving God means, is obeying him. It has nothing to do with feeling. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. It's by faith. Faith has no feeling. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You do it because it's right. Amen? Let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your patience. And we pray that you bless these people, that you really encourage them in their faith. May they be changed supernaturally. And may they trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a hand. We're going to walk that way right to that guy. As you watch those people walk down, there's going to come a day when they're going to say, I used to do all this stuff, and now I don't anymore, and it's because of what's happening right there. Bring a friend next week. We're going to talk about the word and prayer. God bless you. Go get a CD, and be good this week.